Hello and welcome to Truth in Journalism, a radio broadcast dedicated to applying the Word of God to current events. Well, today on Truth in Journalism, we're going to talk about the overturn of Roe v. Wade. Now, I know that we were actually supposed to conclude the topic we began last week, and we will get back to that, but we're not going to do it today because, frankly, there's just nothing else more important to talk about than this. Like, there is nothing more important to talk about than the overturn of Roe v. Wade. In fact, this is just the most significant piece of history that's happened, at least within the American context, without involving anything international. You know, we're not talking about, you know, the Cuban Missile Crisis or World War II or stuff like that. This is the single most important historical moment since the 1860s. And I mean that sincerely. This is the most important constitutional, legal, American event, the most important thing for the American society as the American society since the surrender of the Confederacy. And I'm not being hyperbolic. This action may have preserved the Union. And again, I am not being hyperbolic. I am not being just a silly person who exaggerates and is trying to make something sound like a bigger deal than it is. This is an unbelievably, incredibly big deal, and it is a wonderful thing. Very rarely do we have news on this show that I talk about that is really, really good news. Christians have been taking it on the chin. Our American society, frankly, has been taking it on the chin for quite a long time. And even our victories have often been tainted victories. They've been qualified victories. This is an unqualified, wonderful, blessed good. And we need to thank God for it. So my advice to you is eat the fat, drink the sweet, rejoice, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. This is a time to celebrate. This is a time to give praise and adoration and glory to God. This is the time to sing the doxology. This is the time to sing the hallelujah chorus. This is the time to sing that glory and honor and power belong unto him. And he, the one who sitteth upon the throne, all glory and honor are his. All glory and honor are yours, Almighty Father, forever and ever. We need to praise God. We need to thank God. We need to glorify God. We need to exalt him and exalt in him and laud him and magnify the person of Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit to the glory of God the Father. We need to be grateful and thankful because today, as I record this on June 24th, 2022, I don't do these live. I don't know if you guys knew this. Well, I'm actually alive when I record them, but I don't record these Sunday morning, okay? I don't know if you didn't know that. These are pre-recorded. As I record this, the afternoon of June 24th, 2022, Roe v. Wade is overturned. That is big news worth celebrating. Now, I am working without notes today. That is not my policy. I don't like doing that. I like, with radio, I like to have every single word I say spelled out, but I want to give you my honest first response, my first public response. I want it to be to you, the people who have been with me for over a decade. We've been talking together for over 10 years. We've been talking together about how the Bible and current events, how Christian theology matches current events and journalism. We've been talking about this together, so I want you to get my unpre-planned thoughts. I want you to get my just natural reaction. I want you to hear my feelings. I want to be honest with you. I want to be unguarded. I don't want there to be this veil of fancy pastor language that I can come up with when I sit there and type it out. I want you to hear what I actually think. I want you to know what I actually feel and believe. And if it's a little rough, I apologize, but I want you to get a raw response from me because I want you to have a raw response. I want you out there to have a raw, real emotional reaction to this. We are so used. Conservative Christians, which for the most part anymore is real Christians, but Christians in this country have been taking it on the chin for so long. We've been getting beat up so much. We've lost so many battles in the culture wars that we're just so used to losing. And yet to win, this is something that we need to celebrate, we need to rejoice in, and we need to be thankful for. And I want you to have a raw feeling. I want you to feast, celebrate God, be thankful, because God is ultimately behind this victory. God is sovereign over the kingdoms of men. That is the fundamental lesson of the book of Daniel. God is sovereign over the kingdoms of men. So why did Roe v. Wade get overturned? There are a couple reasons why. First, Roe v. Wade was overturned because God is sovereign over the kingdoms of men. So all glory and honor ultimately are his. He is the first cause, the first cause, the primary cause, the prime mover. He is the one who is the initiator and the end of all human action. He is both the first cause and the final cause of all things. Now, is God the only cause? Is he the only operative cause? No, of course not. We also have judges to thank. We have, at least five of them to thank who, under Justice Alito's guidance, overturned Roe v. Wade. And by the way, I haven't had a chance to read Alito's entire opinion. It is a very long opinion. Alito's opinion is very long. It's very detailed. It's very technical. His opinion is extremely long. I haven't had a chance. The PDF document that I downloaded from Supreme Court, .gov or whatever, is a 213-page long PDF. I did not get a chance to read that this morning, but I did read a little bit of it. And just from the beginning, when you start reading Justice Alito's opinion, it is scathing. I mean, he is not holding back. He is out there and he is saying Roe v. Wade was bad law. Casey was bad law. It was badly decided. It was badly reasoned. It was not constitutional. It was never constitutional. And it is powerful language. It is very powerful language. And so we can be grateful for the Supreme Court for doing this. And again, this is a victory in the face of a lot of defeats that we've had over a very long period of time. The Supreme Court has become more conservative. And you know who we can thank about this? And I don't want you to get mad at me when I say it, but we can thank Donald Trump. We can thank President Trump because American Christians made a bargain with President Trump. Now, you don't have to like President Trump. You don't like to love the Donald. You don't have to like the Donald. You don't have to believe he's a good man. You don't have to believe he's a moral man. You don't have to believe anything about him other than the fact that he kept his campaign promises. He made a promise to American Christians. Now, if you don't think Donald Trump's a real Christian, that's fine. That's fine. We can debate that. You don't have to believe he's a real Christian. You can believe he's opportunistic. You can believe he's manipulative. But he made a promise, and his promise was, if you elect me, I will put conservative justices on the court, and those conservative justices will be actual conservatives. They're not going to be Chamber of Commerce Republicans. They're not going to be, rhinos. They're not going to be crypto libs. They're going to be actual conservatives. And primarily because Christians in America have been and should have been one issue voters. He made the promise. He made the deal that if you vote for me, if you Christians will kind of swallow your vomit and vote for me, I will put justices on the court who will overturn Roe v. Wade. That was the deal we made, and he fulfilled his end of the bargain. And so we can thank Donald Trump for putting justices on the court who would not play by the same old rules. Thirdly, we can thank American Christians and American conservatives. Now, again, are many Republican politicians opportunistic? Yes. Do many of them actually not have any real moral concern about abortion? Absolutely. There are many Republicans who will campaign against abortion only because it gets them votes. But American Christians have grown sadder and wiser over the past 60, 70, 80 years. We've grown sadder because we've lost, but we've grown wiser because in our losing, we've realized that pragmatism in politics matters. If you vote for good people that have no chance of winning, you don't actually affect policy. You need to be prudential. You need to vote for somebody who's going to get you what you can get. Politics is the art of the possible. And so if Christians are busy voting for somebody that we think is really, truly a good and decent man, and by the way, I want to vote for good and decent men, but I'm not going to waste my vote on somebody who will give me 100% of what I want, but won't win and will actually get me 0% of what I want and will actually lead to me getting none of what I want and actually will get me things that I don't want because somebody that I don't want is going to get elected and they're going to accomplish things with political power. I'm not going to vote for that person. I wouldn't vote for me in an election because I can't win. Now, I might believe everything you believe, and I might promise to do wonderful things if I'm elected, things that you would love, but I would never win an election. So would it be better to vote for Luke, or would it be better to vote for a rhino Republican, a Republican who actually doesn't have any values, but is electable and will vote according to your conscience because he wants to keep getting elected? Yes, yes, that's what Christians have learned. We've learned how to lick our fingers and put them up in the air and do some political triangulation. Now you say, well, that's dirty and yucky and icky. Might be, maybe, but it's prudential. Now, what does the overturn of Roe v. Wade actually mean? It means, most likely, a couple things. And this is where I'm going to say some things that you might not like, you might not want to hear, because you might think that I'm being Debbie Downer. I'm not being Debbie Downer. I'm being Positive Peter here. But part of being Positive Peter is being Realistic Reginald, and I am making this stuff up as I go along. So if you're wondering what I'm talking about, okay, don't be a wondering Walter. Just be a listening Larry and a trusting Thomas, and just a do what I say Dilbert. Anyways, what does this mean? What does this mean for Christians and for our society immediately? It means a couple things. It means that the political sorting that has happened in America will continue. This will actually, I think, preserve the union for a little bit longer anyways. I don't have time to go into the political sorting. We might go into that in a future episode. And in fact, I'm probably certain we will go into this in a future episode. But political sorting is going to continue. Red states are going to get redder. Blue states are going to get bluer. It also means that there is going to be a lot of political violence soon and very soon. Expect it. It's coming. It's already happening. But expect the pace of political violence, especially political violence that targets Christians, to increase and increase rapidly. Be prepared. Be prepared for violence. Be prepared for domestic terrorism. Be prepared for anti-Christian terrorism. Be prepared. Expect it. This is why we need to be prayed up. We need to be fasting. We need to be preparing ourselves spiritually. We need to expect violence. We need to expect martyrdom. Expect it. Not because it's the most likely thing to happen. In fact, it's statistically very unlikely at this point. But you need to be prepared. We need to be prepared. We know that when good wins, when righteousness wins, the unrighteous become all the more vicious. They become a cornered raccoon, and they fight ferociously and nastily and dirtily. The other thing that we need to prepare for, and again, I'm not being Debbie Downer, but we need to prepare for this, is we need to prepare for a long haul. Yes, we have won in the court. Yes, conservative Christian values have won in the court. Yes, life has won in the court. But until the court is willing to extend the same 14th Amendment protections, and by the way, I'm not a big believer in extending 14th Amendment protections to the states, but as long as we're playing the game, then we need to play the game, right? So until we can get the court to extend 14th Amendment constitutional rights to unborn persons, just as they extend to born persons, which the 14th Amendment, that extension guarantees that constitutional rights that should simply be federal rights extend down to the state and local level. Until we can get a federal constitutional interpretation that bans abortion at all stages in all states, the battle isn't done. This is our Father's world, and the battle is not done. Now, Jesus who died will be satisfied and heaven and earth will be one. But right now, in the here and now, we are in the midst of a battle, and we need to be prayed up. We need to be fasted up. We need to be preparing to win, because nothing short of abolition is acceptable. Absolutely nothing short of the total abolition of the murder of babies for hire is acceptable. No more. No more can we tolerate this disgusting, vile, pagan murder of children. These hitmen in lab coats need to be stopped. We need to get serious at the state level. Abolition can happen. We can get there, but we need to rely on God. We need to be politically savvy. We need to be pragmatic, taking wins when we can get them, but never stopping short of ultimate victory. Remember, that's important. Take wins when you can get them. Take the victory. Take the W if it's an incremental W. Take the incremental W, but don't stop there. Continue on. We will press on. We must press on. God has a moral imperative for us to press on until abolition of abortion happens. We can never stop until that happens. Until every baby, until every one of God's creatures is safe. We cannot stop. We must not stop. God commands that we do not stop. We have the blessed gift in this country of political power. The citizen in this country has political power. Christians in this country have political power. We have a moral imperative, an obligation to use that political power for God's glory and for the flourishing of society. I hope and pray we will. And I hope you'll join us again next time for another exciting episode of Truth in Journalism. Thank you, and may God bless your day to His glory.